Thank you for tuning in. This is WWGH 107.1 FM Radio, and I am Linda Sims, and you are listening to A Voice of a People live here today. Thank you for tuning in once again. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, iPhone, cell phones, laptops, or computers, or any other new gadget that they have out. I can't keep up with them. They have so many. And search WWGH, and you will have that little icon on your phone as you have many others, and you can have the opportunity to check with that, you know, to click onto that icon and take advantage of the many programs, talk programs. That's what we have here on WWGH, talk programs. We have many, and you can take advantage of those, and I'm sure we have a few of your favorites. You can call today, 740-383-9944, if you have any questions about the show that we will be doing today or would like to make any comments. We are on the air until the top of the hour at 5 p.m. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their food pantry should be opening up in April, and I will be announcing that soon. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio, and the telephone number there is 740-262-0939. I have an announcement for you today, and it's Master Urban Farmer Thursdays, March the 19th, they will begin through April the 16th. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Mays Community Temple. Their location is 801 Bennett Street, Marion, Ohio. The cost, no cost to the community, but registration is required. All are welcome. To register, go to go.osu.edu/forward right, Marion Urban Farmer, or call OSU Extension at 740-223-4040. So thank you, Master Urban Farmers. We're going back to basics nowadays, Jeff.
Yes.
Alrighty. Gardens.
Well, you know, everything, it seems like you end up back at the basics.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
No matter how, all this new technology that we have in the world today, we still need the basics, don't we?
Absolutely. All Gotta
right.
have the foundation.
Yes, we do. Okay. Now, I have a thought for you today, and it's called Thinking Too Much. Now.
I just saw a sign that said that.
Did you?
Thank you for thinking too much, or something like that.
Well, let me
Something that didn't
it.
Make any sense.
Oh, of course. Now, I moved it. Of course, I did that. I'm sorry I did that, but I will find it. Okay. All right. I know.
They're listening out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know they're listening. I'm so sorry. I just found it, but I thought I must have ran over it. So what I'm going to do is...
Well, just give us a general sense of what you were talking about.
Well, I guess it was saying, you know, did I read it? No, I didn't have time to
read
it.
But, I see.
I will look for it and bring it up, and I will give you that thought for today. And the voice you hear other than mine is Jeff Porter. He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days, our doomsday prophet here at WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And, of course, Jeff comes and brings us doom and gloom, but when he's finished, there's always hope.
Yes.
He always gives hope. So we're going to say hi to you today, Jeff, and how are you?
Well, what do you think of the coronavirus?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that a last days thing, do you think?
I think so, because the Bible talks about pestilence and disease is a sign of the last days.
Yeah.
I think this is a pestilence.
You think the media is overblowing it?
I think people are afraid because of the results that they have seen so far with death.
Yeah.
You know, and
but not everybody's died from it that had it.
Not everyone.
It was mostly people that already had a condition.
Right. And that's even scarier. How many people don't have a condition?
Yeah, everybody's got some kind of condition, you know.
Right. So you really don't know what to think about that. But I know there is a great concern. There's a lot of media about it. The president has been doing different things to try to keep it under control and to keep people from losing their minds.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about it. We got this contained. We got this taken care of and all those different
things. Have you ever seen The Stand by Stephen King?
No.
Where this disease broke out. They don't study for biological warfare anymore. United States dropped that. And they may try to make vaccines for in case we come under attack, but they don't manufacture diseases to attack other countries with anymore. But this was back when they did.
Okay.
And one of those diseases broke out, and it killed almost everybody in the world. Just a handful of people were left. Hmm. And there was stuff about Satan. There was, you know, God finally destroyed Satan's scheme to destroy the rest of the world and let them start over. It was almost like Noah's Ark thing, you know.
Wow.
But it was a scary kind of weird movie, you know, Stephen King. But I thought there might be some truth to that. But you see, we're in the last days, so we know that the whole book of Revelation has to take place.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, you know, if people they rely on pre-tribulation rapture, which is very shaky from some very shaky passages in the Bible, we don't know when if there is going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. We don't know when, you know, because it doesn't tell you that in there. So we could have, you know, some of these things are just warnings.
Right.
You know, earthquakes, tidal waves, thunderstorms, tornadoes, and pestilences. You know, all that stuff. What was it? Nashville got hit with more than one tornado lately?
Tennessee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just last week.
About 25 people were killed.
Yeah.
They said.
Yes, absolutely.
Those are some powerful tornadoes there. And I saw the debris and the disaster, you know.
Right, right.
And here's what kills me, though.
Kills you?
It just gets me. It gets to me. These groups out there that are screaming weather, you know, what are we going to do about the weather being out of control? Well, what do you want the government to do about it?
Yeah.
The government can't do anything about the weather being bad and out of control. What are you going to do? They going to go out there and drop a bomb on a tornado? I mean, there's nothing they can do. Those are all, and it's gotten bad enough to where the world is recognizing that something's wrong.
Yeah.
But they're not willing to admit that it's sin that's causing it. You know.
Yeah, of course.
Our actions are out of control. So is the weather.
Okay, and you're right about that. And
global warming. It's global warning.
Yes, it is now. I know you had talked about economic collapse.
Yes.
So have you been paying attention to what has been happening because of this coronavirus?
The stock market's been
diving. That's where we started with, right?
Right.
Stock market is taking a plunge, a big plunge, a couple times here, right?
It's come back up and then gone back down.
Gone back down.
Come back up. Yeah. Economic collapse could happen at any time, but my theory is that, you know, America, the reason why we're on, why our economy is so unstable is because we have borrowed too much money from foreign countries and foreign banks. And now it's in the upper trillions, you know. Mm-hmm. How much did they say we owe?
Probably 20.
Yeah, 20. Others say it's 42 trillion, something like
it
that.
It could be 42.
It's hard to say. But the reason why I say that we are headed towards an inevitable economic collapse is because these countries that we're borrowing from are also borrowing money from other countries. And someday they're going to say, hey, we're out of money. You got to pay some of this back. And where is the United States going to get this money? I mean, these big, giant companies that we have, you know, these powerful oil companies and stuff, they go get lawyers to help them so they don't have to pay their income tax.
What's wrong? Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right about that. You know, we were talking about economic collapse, and then we went to, we were still on economic collapse,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Okay. So this is what we see on a small scale. We see this happening, what happened in Greece could very easily happen here in America.
Wow.
Now, we've got not only that, but, you know, mostly we've had to borrow money because of war. But we've had to borrow money because we've got a lot of government programs. And, you know, a president and a Congress cannot cut these programs. Once they're in place, if they cut those programs, they pretty much lost their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's true.
So that's what happened in Greece, too, you know. And they want to be generous. They want to help people. But do we really have the money?
Right.
Now, some of the people that are running for president say, oh, well, we've got to have universal hospitalization. We've got to have a universal college, you know, pay for people's tuition in college. Where's the money going to come from? That's what everybody's asking. We'd love to have that stuff. But where's the money going to come
from? Out of your pocket, Jeff.
Yes. Where do they mostly get their money? From us.
Yes. We pay for it. The people pay for it, you know.
And people were complaining that President Trump cut taxes, you know, so we could have some extra money. So you can't win either way. I mean,
no, you
can't. If you're a president, I don't want that job.
I know it's a big job.
There's nothing
isn't it?
You can do that makes people happy.
You have to please too many people, and people you cannot please,
yeah.
Right?
You can please some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time, but never all the people
all the time.
No.
Never. Now, this is, I found it, thinking too much. The biggest disease of the mind is overthinking, especially too much thinking about others, what they did, what they should do, what they should have done, what they said, what you wish they had said, why they spoke at all. All of these rob the mind of its inherent serenity. Thinking too much is like eating too much. Wow, that's a thought, isn't
it? I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of thinking too much.
And eating too much, too.
Both
categories.
Eating the wrong things.
Okay. The heaviness makes it impossible to remain light and flexible. We get stuck on little things, and gradually the little things become huge things which we cannot shake off. Often we think too much. We fantasize and overreact. Thus, we create negative feelings. So that's what thinking too much can lead to, negative feelings, right?
So that's the way that we're always trying to teach people to each other to rely on Jesus in faith rather than trying to think your way out of a situation, you know.
I know. And the eating thing, I tell you, I had a piece of chocolate cake Saturday.
Oh, please.
It was delicious.
Yes.
But about 2 or 3 hours later, I was seeing spots around my eyes because it was
so
sweet.
Why, you got diabetes?
I didn't think I did.
Maybe you better have that checked.
And they always do 2 or 3 times a year. It doesn't show, but
okay.
Oh, my.
Good.
It was just too sweet. You know what I'm saying? I guess. So we have to be careful with that eating too much.
When you get older, stuff
yes,
affects you more.
Yes, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
I mean, if you were 20 years old, it wouldn't have done nothing like that.
I wouldn't want to think so. But since I have diverted myself from what we were talking about, and I really didn't mean to do that, I just, I kept looking over, thinking too much, and it was right there. And I had to bring that up.
Well, the thing that's significant about the economic collapse is, and that, the many times that I've read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we might want to get on some of those questions like that Terry asked, because the church is collapsing. The organized church is dying because it has moved away from the truth. But it's also predicted in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And why is God allowing the church to fall away? As they, well, they've been desiring to, so he lets them do that because we got free will. But the reason why the church has to fall away, the organized church, is so that the Antichrist can rise to power.
Right.
If the organized church were still very, very strong in these days, there's no way he could rise to power. It'd be too much protest.
Right, right.
But now that, and I think we're getting close to the very end of the apostasy. But, you know, it could get worse, I guess. I don't know how it could, but it could. Most every church is plugged into some kind of false doctrine, this false prophecy, false prophets, and so on. And not only that, I have a hard time with some of their music. I saw a thing on the web where this one church, they like to go to Las Vegas and see if they can drum up some money with gambling, you know. And that's the kind of stuff that our friend in here was talking about. So,
well,
once the main body of the body of Christ has moved away from the truth, then they'll melt in with the one world church. You see, they'll become part of the one world church, which is very serious, because I believe it's in Revelation 18. The Lord will allow this melting, and all of the non-Christian belief systems, you know, all the cults, all the religions that are don't contain the true Christ will melt together with the fallen Christian church and become the one world church, and then they will kill true believers.
That's not a good thing, is it?
Not hardly. So most of your persecution in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation will be persecution from the one world church, and that is people that you're sitting beside a lot of times in church.
So what you're saying is
they're traitors.
Some of the things you're bringing up now relates to the questions that our friend Terry has brought in, right? Because you're saying if there are some true believers who will be turning their backs on the faith, and not only that, their fellow Christians, and will emerge together with unbelievers, and then will kill those who are holding up the bloodstained banner. That's what you're saying, right?
The way that it happens is this politically correct thing. You know, we're not supposed. They think that you have to accept all other belief systems, or you're some kind of horrible thing. You know, you're some kind of a monster that hates people that are not of the Christian faith. See, that's their reasoning. And so they think if you're going to be like that and reject them, so highly reject them and everything, then the best thing to do is to kill you.
Well, see? Yeah, we are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that this is setting up the stage. Like you said, we're getting
right
closer and closer to the Mark of the Beast and the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And I have a little clip on that, too, that I want to be able to go over today.
Okay.
But one of his first questions was, why do people's profile on Facebook and say they're Christians, but then pictures showing them doing everything non-Christian, like he was saying, being drunk or
that's a very
belligerent
good question.
You know, how can people tell a true Christian from the false?
It's hard.
Is this about religion or relationship?
I believe that about 70% of true believers that really want to follow Christ are out of church right now. Secondly, anybody can claim to be a Christian.
True.
Linda.
True.
I can claim to be Flippo the Clown.
You
know,
yeah,
I can claim to be Napoleon.
That's true.
You know, George Washington, whatever, you know. And it doesn't mean that I'm them.
Right. Saddam Hussein said he was a reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe he was.
He was.
Who knows?
He put on that spirit of Nebuchadnezzar.
Would he want to be Belshazzar? I don't know.
They found him in the ground, remember, on all fours, and he was hairy all over, and the Lord showed him
who was in charge.
Yes. Okay, you want to be Nebuchadnezzar? Get down Go on ahead. All fours.
Yeah, let's see you do that.
Yeah, and his hands grew like, his nails was like claws. Oh, it was, I remember that. I don't think I'll ever forget that. I saw him on TV. Remember when they dug him out of that hole? He was underground.
Yeah. Well, I guess he did become Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You know, what killed me was, too, is that the soldiers found stashes of cash in some of these places. You know, he didn't know where to hide it because the U.S. was so after him.
I know they were. And he was running for his life.
Did they really solve anything?
No, they did not.
I don't think so.
But getting back to what he was asking, and you did say anyone can claim to be a Christian.
Why not? What's to stop them?
So is this about a religion or is this about a relationship?
For their part, the person that's claiming to be a Christian and not at all showing any signs of being born again or having a relationship with Christ, for them, it's a religion.
It's a religion.
But for us who are trying to follow Christ and going through whatever we got to go through to continue following him,
and have our faith
in him,
it's
a relationship.
Yes, it is a relationship.
You know, I have learned over the years to drop the formalities. You know, I don't get down, very seldom. I might get down on my knees and pray in front of a chair or something. Most of the time, I just talk to the Lord.
Amen.
When I'm praying, and I feel His presence a lot,
yes.
all the time. You
yes.
know,
yes,
If I mess up and I sin, I still just sit there in the chair and go, Lord, I just ask forgiveness for that.
Right.
I just let it get a hold of me, you mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. And He's just like, that's okay.
Right.
I forgive you.
Right.
Don't
I got
forget.
You.
I shed my blood for you.
Yes, absolutely.
And we must believe that we're forgiven in order to go on, you know, and forgive ourselves.
Right.
You know.
Now, I can understand that a person may slip off the wagon every now and then, but it should not be your lifestyle. If you're saying that you are a Christian, people should know you by your fruit.
Right.
And if you're around on Facebook drunk or talking belligerently or whatever, you know, then you're not showing a non-believer that you are a Christian. Who would want to follow you?
Well, there is a long stride between the day that we first get saved.
Yes, it is.
And the day that we become a mature Christian.
It takes time.
Yes, it does. Now, that Christian may have a drinking problem.
Right.
For
That's
a long
true.
Time. Maybe smoking pot. Maybe
true.
Both.
True.
May have a problem with sex.
Yes.
May have a problem with pornography. May have a problem with anything, really. I had a problem with a really bad temper for a really long time. And over the years, God has gradually kind of grinded it down by putting me in situations where I have to try and stop it, you know, at people saying things to me, doing things to me that would just make me go off. But after a while, I began to see why God's doing this. He's trying to teach me to stop it, you know, by presenting challenges to me.
Right, right.
And over the years, it's gotten much, much better.
Right.
You know,
so
if somebody like this guy comes along and says, well, this guy's not acting like a Christian, it's true, Christians aren't perfect. But if they're living a lifestyle of sin, like they're living with somebody, or they're drinking on a regular basis and don't care, they have a cavalier attitude about it, that's different. And that's what Paul said. We're not preaching cheap grace here. We're not telling you that it's okay to go out and sin. God forbid, Paul said.
Right, right. But, no, we're not, no.
But if we are trying to follow Christ, if we're doing the best we can, we're praying and reading our Bible and getting fellowship with other Christians, doing the best we can not to, then where sin does abound, there does grace also much more abound. So,
right.
You know, so who's a real Christian? The only way you could really tell if a person's a real Christian is to get to know them, you know, to sit around and listen to what they have to say or know, figure out whether are they living with somebody outside of marriage. Are they involved in all kinds of other kinds of sins that have to do with that, you know?
I tell you, salvation is immediate.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord, your Savior, and your God, and at that moment you put down everything,
yes,
and you ask him to come in, you know, because he has already died for all your sins that you
would
ever commit and that you have committed in the past. Mm-hmm. Salvation is immediate.
Yes.
But sanctification takes a lifetime.
Yes.
It's a lifetime. It is a process because we have to put on the new man, right?
Yes.
And take off the old man. And sometimes it's not so easy to get the old man off you, right?
I didn't even understand that about sanctification for a long time.
Yeah.
I just thought I was hot stuff as a Christian, you know?
Right.
Until God started bringing more and more challenges across my path to show me, you ain't so hot. You ain't all that, you know, a bag of chips and all that. You're not.
Right, right, right.
You know, you're just another Christian, you know. Even if you have a heavy calling on you for evangelism or something, or missionary or something like that, it does not make you better than somebody.
No, it doesn't.
Now, here's this.
And you don't know it all.
Yeah. this brings me to another subject. In Ephesians 4, we have the fivefold ministry, which is preaching and teaching and apostles and prophets and so on. And I think that, first of all, the church has never done this right. They've always paraded people around like an apostle is better than you and a prophet's better than you. There ain't none of that stuff is true. And secondly, now they've thrown out the fivefold ministry. They don't want prophets coming in, because prophets come in and tell you what's wrong.
True.
And they don't want no correction anymore.
That's you're right.
They want to preach a lukewarm gospel, like I said, the mamby-pamby Christianity, cotton candy Christianity.
With that is people can't get delivered from what dealing with and what they're struggling with. You know, God came to set us free.
That's right.
That we would have life and have that more abundantly, and that we're going to always have something to overcome. Like you say, you know, he always bring other things to you or take you through other things,
yeah,
you know, but let us at least be able to put away something and start anew, afresh anew.
Especially if people have drug problems.
Drug problems, major. Sex problems, lying
alcohol.
Problems, stealing.
Yeah.
And you know what someone brought up today?
What?
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear.
I had a fear problem.
And unbelievers are the first ones listed that's going into hellfire.
Yeah.
Do we confess our fear? Do we say, Lord, I got the spirit of fear on me. I'm afraid to even go to bed at night, you know, in my home. You know, I'm there by myself. Could you watch over me and keep me and take away the spirit of fear? He has not given us the spirit of fear,
mm-hmm,
but one of power and of love and of a sound mind.
That's right, Lord,
whatever I'm dealing with, I may be fearful of, I give it to you right now because you didn't give that to me.
You know, when you live alone, you hear noises more.
Yeah.
At night, you know.
Just like coronavirus, people are afraid. They are fearful. Not only are people fighting over sanitizer in the store, these three ladies was fighting over toilet paper they had on the news today. Three ladies.
Fighting over toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
Where
I mean, the shelves were, I don't know if it was, it looked like a Home Depot type place or Lowe's or a place like that, you know, because they have those type of things. And this one black lady, she had the toilet paper, and these white ladies were, two of them were fighting. I don't know if she went there first and grabbed it or what really happened.
Well, hey, you know, there are other places you can get toilet paper, you know.
Who knows how many places they have been.
Yeah.
See, that's what's going on. Now, see, it hasn't hit Ohio yet, which is where we
The toilet paper was because of the coronavirus. They were worried about something.
Well, people are trying to stay in the house. Once it comes in their area, they're trying to stay immune from everything else for at least 2 weeks, they're saying. They're telling people not to come into work. They're shutting down schools, okay? The grocery store shelves are absent of what you need, void. So it hasn't, it's only a few states that it hasn't arrived at yet, and Ohio is one of them.
Fine.
The virus itself, how long is that going to be?
Google,
I thought about that
Ohio
today. I thought about that today. Now, how long will that be?
Yeah.
My water is low. You know, I'm looking around the house because if they shut down these things, then and they're asking you to stay in the house because they don't want a lot of people to become infected with this virus.
So is it airborne?
From what they say, it can jump from one person to the other. And then they said there were some people who didn't even have any symptoms that ended up with it. So who can tell what this is about? But I want to be obedient. If they say stay in the house, I want to be in the house.
I don't. I can't.
I don't
want to
be, but I will. I will. I'll try. 2 weeks is not that long. But death is forever. Unless you're going to heaven or hell.
Yeah, you don't want it. If you're unsaved, stay in the house.
Then you're going somewhere, right?
What other, did he have other questions?
Yeah, how can sporting events, concerts, and any other events get all of the people, but some churches suffer to get a few people?
It's always been that way. Jesus said, "Narrow is the gate, straight is the way, and few there shall be that enter thereat." The problem with Christianity and the world out there is, well, let's put it this way. There's plenty of religions and cults out there who don't convict you of sin.
True.
And Christianity convicts you of sin. That's what the Old Testament is for, is to show you you've moved away from God. The first of the Ten Commandments, there shall be no other gods before me. And that is the most violated scripture there is, the most violated commandment, because everything gets in the way of God. You know, money, sex, power, you name it, it's there. Whatever their attention is on, even sports can be a god, you know. And so it's easy to go to a sports event. I mean, you know, there's nothing there to convict you of anything you've done wrong. You could have been a murderer and nobody would, there's nothing there to convict you of that. But if you go to church, you're going to hear about your sin. You know, more than likely, God is going to speak through that preacher or that elder or something, and they're going to tell you that what you've been doing is a major sin, and that's not easy to deal with. You need to go up to the altar and ask forgiveness and repent, which means to turn from that sin.
True.
The one thing they don't want to do. So the majority of the world is on the wrong path. It will stay on the wrong path until death, you know, because they won't listen to any preaching, any teaching.
Sound doctrine.
Right.
They want to talk to us smoothly.
I remember this lady on the bus. I didn't know what exactly to say to her because she's always said, when I would ever talk about Christ on the bus, she said, "I think you should keep that religious stuff in the church where it belongs and not bring it out here and bother us with it." Well, what she's really saying is, you shouldn't be out here convicting me of my sin. You shouldn't be convicting me of my unbelief. I want to do what I want to do. Well, that's why people end up in hell. They paddle their own canoe, you know. They're allowed to make their own choice, but they've got to understand that there is a major, serious consequence to what you believe and the way you're acting, you know. So, of course, the majority of the world's not going to go to church, you know. Now, I think he thinks that because America is for the most part is a Christian nation. If there's something that America believes, it's in Christ. And so people like to label themselves as Christians to be part of the...
Why? Because they've heard of that name? They have no idea who Christ is?
Yeah, they don't. They don't... you've got, on the one hand, you've got this picture of Christ that's been painted, which is him laying out on the front lawn on a beautiful day. He's got butterflies around him and dogs come up and pets him.
Right, or he's on his knees at the cross, or he has this picture of him, you know... And you're right about that, but is that him? We don't know.
No, if you open up the scripture and really read about who he was, he said, "You think that I've come here to give you peace. I hand you a sword."
Yes, he does.
Now, why is there a sword there? Well, you find out after you get saved, your family's not quite as happy about it.
I come to separate the families.
That's right. You know, and your family sit down and say, I heard you become a Christian.
Right.
Like Caligula or something, you know.
Okay, like you said, Christians who may profess themselves to be Christian, whether they are family members or not, those would be the ones who would turn you over.
That's
like
right.
Judas turned over Christ.
Right.
When we come to that time that the Antichrist is on the reign and they know that we are a Christian, and they'll say, well, where are the Christians at? And they'll say, well, they're over there. You know what I'm saying? They'll point you out and they'll come with the sword, behead you or whatever.
That's right. We're turning them over to the lions here.
Yeah. In a minute. And see, people don't understand that. They do not understand that, what we may have to go through. We do not know. Well, like you said, there are Christians being prosecuted every day overseas.
That's right.
Every day in other nations. How long are we going to get away with it?
Well, see, that's why I believe the pre-tribulation rapture can only live in a country like ours where there isn't any physical persecution yet. Now, there's a lot of emotional stuff going on. There's a lot of opposition to us having the freedom to worship the way we want to or to believe the way we want to. But we haven't had anybody busting in our house or knocking on the door saying, you got to come out here.
Ooh, praise God.
And line up, you know. Chains put on
you. Yeah, you're a Christian. We say, you know, it don't mean that I got a cross around my neck, which I do today, but...
No. That's nice. I used to believe, when I was at first got saved, I used to believe that people, when they had crosses hanging from their mirror and stuff,
yeah.
or they had a bumper sticker,
right.
Oh, a Christian.
Right,
you know.
Right, but you can't tell anymore.
No.
And see, that's the bad part. A non-believer, which he professes
right
to be...
Now.
Which the man who, Terry, who gave us the questions today, he professes to be a non-believer.
Yeah.
But he knows the difference between a believer and a non-believer.
Somebody told him what a Christian's supposed to be.
Someone. Maybe he's seen someone.
Or maybe he was in church for a while.
Right. Maybe his mother was a Christian or his father
yeah.
or his sisters. We don't know. But he knows the difference.
Yes.
He knows the difference.
Yes.
So if a sinner can know the difference, why can't a Christian know the difference?
I don't know, you know, Christianity, the Christians seem to have lost their common sense or something these days. Have you noticed that?
Yes,
they,
I know.
They don't have any sense of right and wrong sometimes, or they don't have any sense of correct doctrine. That's the big one for me, is because God has called me to help correct people that are caught up in, like, for instance, I've run into people in the church we go to that believed they were a god. Because of the prosperity movement. Now, a few years ago, I would have fell off my chair if you told me that. There are Christians
right.
that believe they're a god. But they do, because the leaders have been teaching them that. See? Satan's got a hold of somebody's mind, huh?
Yeah. Be careful what you teach and what you say. You have to give clarification
because,
like you
to,
said,
you know, if you don't,
people
teach,
will take that stuff and run with it. You know,
all the way up and down the football field.
Yes, they will.
Remember this guy talking on YouTube? He said, "When you've got a preacher that's abusive, and that he is trying to fleece the flock, and he's also trying to brainwash people, you've always got this big bunch of people over here who are gossips." And they just take those wrong ideas. They love it. You never notice how bad news travels fast? And they'll take that bad news and they'll just run it up and down the football field day after day, you know. Well, they better be careful because someday they're going to wake up to a different reality.
That's true. That's so true.
They're going to be standing before a God that shines a light on all that stuff, and they're going to have to answer for it.
Now, one thing I do know that's in the scriptures... Love ye one another as I have loved you. You are my witnesses. How else will other people know that you are my witnesses if you do not love one another? Your neighbor, your friend, your fellow believer, the one you labor with in church, or you know, like you said, people who need. Why aren't we helping people who need, you know, or giving to these free places or food pantries, making sure that they're stocked up with food that we might not even eat?
Well, okay.
Get our canned goods together and take them there.
I have a theory about that.
What's that?
Well, I think that the 10% tithing thing, the person can say to themselves, I'm paying my tithe to the church, so I don't have to help the homeless. I don't have to help the person next door. I've already paid what I have to pay. And it hardens the heart.
Yeah, but the church is supposed to be doing that with your tithes. That's
okay.
what it says, right? That there
but
will be food in my house?
You know, when I was when me and Mike were on the streets and we'd go into a church, a lot of times there was just this cold reply, you know, sorry, we can't help you. Go downtown to the homeless shelter, they'll give you some food, you know. And we may have been miles away from some place like that. I know from experience that most of them, the leadership is asking for money, and you give it to them, and I don't know where it goes, you know. So those are what I call I would call some of this stuff witchcraft, because it's
control.
It's a brainwashing. Yes, it's a control. I remember this one lady, I felt really sorry for her. I believe she's, you know, a prophet, but she doesn't attend church anymore. She said she was having, you know, demonic attacks on her life, so she went to church and she asked this guy up front to pray for her. He claimed to be a prophet. He came downstairs. She told him what was going on. He laid hands on her head and said, "You've been having problems with negative thoughts." And she said, "I wasn't. I wasn't having any big problem with negative thoughts." Then he rubbed her belly and he said, "Do you feel that?" And she said, "I just feel you rubbing my belly." She said 2 or 3 days later, she woke up and her mind was just filled with darkness and negative thoughts. And she felt like her stomach, like some worm was trying to eat out her stomach or something. And she went to a friend, and they prayed and prayed, and finally it went away.
Wow.
But this is something that happened in the church.
But,
see,
you know, you have to read the Bible for yourself. You really have to. Whether you are a professing Christian or not,
yeah,
God has written His Word and left it here for us to have sound doctrine, instruction, right, reproof, and not only that, for you to know what His Word says. He says, lay your hand suddenly on no man. And not only that, don't let no man suddenly lay their hands on you. Because, see, there's no distance.
Be very careful about somebody laying hands
on you.
That's
true.
I've had transfer of spirits before.
There's no distance in prayer. I can pray for you at my house, and you may live in Chicago.
Yeah.
There's no distance in prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
I agree.
I put my concern on the prayer list and hand it to somebody. But don't let people just lay their hands on you suddenly.
No.
Because, like you said, you don't
lady,
know
now,
what spirit
I didn't even
that
know
is.
About that.
Oh.
And I think a lot of Christians still don't know about that.
Oh.
But I had a lady lay hands on me. I was asking for prayer about something. I don't know what it was. But I remember it was in one of these churches that I hold in. I'm very skeptical about, but she laid her hands on me, and a horrible depression came over me, and it took a couple of weeks to get rid of it. I didn't have any reason to be that depressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this person has her own problems, and she transferred them to me, you know. Yes, that's a very big problem. People laying hands on you, don't let them do it, because you could end up falling away.
That's true. You sure can.
That's a very serious problem.
You sure can. Right. And you can be sympathetic about a person, too, and take on what they're feeling. You know that,
yeah,
right? Yes, you can. I told you I had Perry Stone's book.
Yeah.
Here. This is it right here. Mm-hmm. It's called Prophecies Concealed, Now Revealed, Perry Stone, TBN Special Edition. For any amount.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can get this.
Yeah.
I got it for $5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off the TV?
Yep.
Okay.
Off the TV. I had it like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, when believers become mockers, what we're talking about, the great falling away, they themselves will begin to mock the return of Christ.
Yeah.
They will be saying, well, they've been saying that forever. Christ
isn't
here yet.
Well, they're
going to
join up with the One World Church, which denies Christ.
Right. Right. And that's a scary thing. So be careful,
yes,
who you're following. God says, test the spirits. Don't just follow after anyone who puts a name on themselves, you know. And then he says, when sinners become unrepentant and have this, oh, well, attitude, you know, this is me, this
Cavalier
is what I
attitude.
Do. Yeah, you know, like you said, don't judge me.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like that. And he says, that's when the restraint will be removed and judgment,
yeah,
will come. Now, how far are we away from that, or how far do you think we are? Not only am I talking to Jeff, but I'm asking you as a listener to think about these things and look at the things that are coming on the world today.
Yes.
You know, this is just the beginning of 2020.
Yes.
You know, we're entering into the tornado season. Hurricane season is coming. We got this virus out here, coronavirus. It's killing people with immune systems that's not up to par. And they said 70% of your immune system comes from your stomach, 80%. So make sure you got probiotics in you, you know, keeping yourself clean. Make sure you eat plenty of fruit, drink plenty of water.
Yeah.
So where are we, people? Are you afraid? Are you even paying attention to what's going on in the world today? How are you going to fare? How are you going to come out? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that next time. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you can do that today by asking him into your heart, because he has already died for your sins. Thank you, Jeff, for coming here and sharing with us today.
You're welcome.
And thank you for tuning in and listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Stay tuned. Tomorrow we will be talking about politics. We know that there is an election happening this year for the president and many others. And if anyone is voting for Tara Dyer, write in her name.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention, with conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.
Do you think that it's good that Bob Dole is the only Republican past candidate for president who's shown at this event? Is that respectable on his behalf?
Well, that's the attempt of the anti-Trump people to downgrade him in some way. And I think they're going to be shown up as not loyal and sour grapes, and they're not going to benefit by that behavior.
Phyllis, what is your favorite part of the convention? What do you like to do the best while you're here?
Well, my specialty has been the platform committee, and I've worked very hard on that, as you can see in my new book called How We Made the Republican Party Pro-Life. And I follow that very closely. And while I was not on the platform committee this time, my people were, and they were well-trained. And we have, I think, the best platform ever.
What do you think makes it the best platform ever?
Because it's right on the major issues. It's right on national sovereignty. It's right on jobs for Americans. It's right on being against bad trade bills, and being for jobs for Americans, and it's right on immigration, which I think is a major issue.
And CNN commentator Van Jones.
Speaking to that speech tomorrow night by Mr. Trump, will he be able to stick to script, or will he want to talk about the speech Monday? Will he want to go off? Will he want to criticize the media? And if he does it even matter here?
Listen, Donald Trump is a phenomenon. Donald Trump does not have to obey the normal rules of, forget political life, civil life, civic life. Ordinarily, someone who behaves the way that he does wouldn't be invited to your dinner party. They wouldn't be allowed to date your daughter.